Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
This episode takes an excerpt from a conversation I had during quarantine with a volunteer coach for San Francisco Youth Soccer. His name is Abraham Whalen, and he and I have worked together a little bit through working with his teams and then also doing some of the Zoom training with his players. And I get a chance to explore with him kind of what he does with his players and why. And we explore some of the ideas of favorites, and just the whole concept of planning and being prepared is really helping him maximize his time. So have a listen. It's a quick one today, but it's a really good one with Coach Abraham.
Like, the kids are just on Zoom all morning, and then they got homework, and then, you know, I know with my kids, I'm always like, all right, yeah, it's the afternoon. Let's just get out of the house.
Yeah.
Looking at the screens.
I did a webinar with my players yesterday, and we spent probably a good 15 minutes talking about video games and just stuff that they're doing outside of soccer or outside of schoolwork. And they all kind of loosened up. And I found that if I go straight into kind of the business side of things with them, it's very tough to get them engaged because they do it in the afternoon. And like you said, they've had multiple Zoom sessions back to back, and they're done with it. They don't want to do it too much. You know, they love soccer, but they don't want to talk about it on a Zoom call.
And Zoom is just, you know, you're on it for a few hours. Like, I use it for work, and I used it for work before this stuff. And when you're on it for a few hours, it's different than talking to someone in person. You burn out. You get tired.
Yeah, I could. Completely. So, Abe, tell us about the age and the teams that you work with.
Yep. So I started like 2 years ago with Ares, my son, when he started in kindergarten. So I now coach two teams, and it's that team of Ares's, which they're in second grade at this point. So I've had those kids for 2 years. And then my younger son, Zachary, who just started kindergarten this year. So I coach his kindergarten team. So I've got the two teams, the kindergarten, which is co-ed, and the second graders, which is boys.
So you just got out of micro soccer and then right back into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I kind of see it's funny because I go back and forth. In the fall, I had the session. I had the practices back to back, which was too much. But it was interesting to go back and forth and see, like, okay, yeah, I remember. I'd go from the second graders and be like, okay, yeah, we're getting somewhere. And then I'd get to the kindergarten and be like, oh, geez, we're back to it. Chaos.
Did you find yourself having favorites? I find that as I coach two teams, I find myself having like a favorite team for a week or two, and that it seems to flip-flop between them.
I mean, the second graders, just because I've been with them longer and I know them better, and like the team has a real camaraderie and feel to it, even though there's like, you know, interpersonal stuff with the kids and like who knows who and whatever. Even though there's that, like, I just have more of a long-term relationship with that team.
Yep.
And the kindergartners, first, the kindergartners is a bigger team. Not only is it a younger team that's together, it's bigger. Like, we kind of have two teams.
Okay.
And so you don't have the same time with each player as you do. Yeah, I think that'll change, you know, like in a couple years when I've had the kindergarten kids and they're in second grade and they've kind of cohesed into a tight, like 13 kid team, then I'll have the same like tight connection as I do with.
So you can use your current second graders as a role model for your kindergartners, because you know where they're going to end up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so much easier now for me. When I first started teaching the kindergartners 2 years ago, it was hard because like, I didn't really know what to expect of like how to coach kindergartners.
Sure.
You know, I grew up playing soccer through high school and intramural and college. So like, I know how to, I know what it's like to be coached, and I know like how I would coach someone who's say middle or even high school, or, but like teaching a kid from the very ground up
is
a different challenge that I had to get used to.
So then what's been your approach, or even kind of your experience really, and then taking that into going back to kindergarten, especially. Mm-hmm. So what do you have kind of tips, tricks, secrets that you use? You have a kind of standard that you try and that you've now, I guess, established from one team to another?
Yeah. I mean, I think the kid, at least with the kindergarten age, I was very much just about like, let's introduce them to the sport, to like being competitive, making sure they're really just there to have fun and start associating fun with the sport.
Sure.
You know, no concern whether we win, no concern whether the kids are, I wanted them to develop skills, like learn the concept of dribbling, learn like I shouldn't kick the ball with my toe, I should kick it with the side of the foot, that sort of thing. So I wanted them to learn those skills to be a foundation, but really more so with them, it was just about like, how can I teach them to have fun? And I talked to a couple other friends who had coached, you know, younger kids and got tips from them. And my kids did like soccer tots, and it was a great learning for me to see how they were doing it. 'Cause it was really like not trying to teach the skill so much as it was trying to engage the kids, you know, even what you were saying about like, oh, let's talk to them about, you know, video games for the first 15 minutes. It was like the coaches were there getting the kids in a huddle and being like, what sound does a badger make? Okay. We're going to be badgers. And like one of the drills I used with the kindergartners I got from them, which was like, you know, set up cones about a soccer ball's width apart and be like, that's a dam over there. Go dribble the balls into the dam because you're badgers. Make your badger sound. And, you know, fill up the dam. And so like engaging the kids at that level at kindergarten, learning that was really valuable for me.
Is there a lot of coach education? And people would ask me that same sort of thing, you know, how do I teach these kids anything? And that was always my advice is get on their level. Today the soccer field is a spaceship and we're all doing different mm-hmm. spaceship things, or we're in the jungle. And whilst it's difficult for some people perhaps to break into that and to find that inner child, but if you can, and if you can connect with them in a way that makes total sense to them, soccer is the vehicle for them. They are active, they're having fun with the ball, and even things like using hands and especially in some of the really fundamental soccer sessions, and introducing the concept of moving around with a ball is done often with hands first, and then it's on feet because they've already got the idea of moving with the ball. And I think sometimes people take on a coaching role, quote unquote coaching, and they think that suddenly they need to create this team that's going to play 4v4 or 7v7 and be able to keep mm-hmm. the ball and score goals. And it's a completely different world for them.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you in terms of the, like finding your inner child in that kindergarten age range is huge. And now though transitioning to the second grader is like starting to be that coach of like, hey, let me figure out how I can push you, how I can make this team cohesive, how you guys can play together well. 'Cause like they're competitive enough now where they will get down on it, on each other or themselves if they lose. You know, if they play well and they lose, they're fine. But if they feel like they're getting run out the building, run off the field. And so like building those skills and being the coach of like, hey, this is why we're learning this. This is why, you know, it's not an individual game and you can't just try and dribble through the whole team, and like actually getting to more, I think what you think of as coaching starts to come in play.
Sure.
And the kid stuff actually doesn't quite work as much anymore. You know, like I can't be like, for second graders, I can't be like, you're squirrels and, you know, these are your nuts and go put them in the goal, which is your hiding place. Like they don't look at that as much.
Well, especially if they've had you for 2 years now, they already know all those tricks.
Yeah.
So then how do you set up for a season, even with second graders? What is your, what's your approach? Do you have like I guess, a style of play? Do you have something that you try and implement in a specific way, or do you do focus more on the individual? How do you set up for a season?
It was helpful to go through the U.S. soccer training for 77 or whatever I was required to do at the beginning of the year or over the last summer, just to see the way they structure it and think about teaching kids in terms of like, here are the four phases of the game, really trying to emphasize the creating game-like situations as much as possible. So I guess I took a lot of that, whereas the kindergarten stuff was like me always going around like, what kind of games can I find that help them help teach the basic skills for the first 2 years? Can I find a game that's going to help them learn how to dribble? Can I find, you know, an animal analogy that's going to teach them how to kick the ball with the inside of their foot? Now it's like, okay, can we get these guys thinking more strategically about how to play the game, because the field suddenly got bigger and the competition's getting stronger. And so, yeah, I guess that training stuff, I used a lot of it, not verbatim, cause I didn't find that it transferred perfectly. Cause second grade, they were still not quite disciplined enough to follow everything. And so just for the like individual needs of my team and the kids, like I would tweak things, but I kind of kept it in that structure, okay. Where especially coming in, like they're so full of energy. One thing that was really valuable was when they show up at the field, they're so full of energy and they don't want to sit there and listen to you lecture them. And so that's one of the things in the training, right, was like get them doing a 4-on-4, like as soon as they come in. Burn off some energy, get them having fun, and then you can actually talk to them and they can listen for a second.
That's so valuable too, because you consider why they're at practice. They're there to play soccer. And I mean, they don't have a choice because their parents are taking them, but they could have a fit if they wanted to and probably get taken home, but they're there to play soccer. And so it's one of the best things, the whole idea of play as soon as they get there, that's what they're there for. And they're in this environment where they're just instantly playing. It's so rewarding for them. You talk about the idea of kind of curbing the excitement that they are, they're full of energy, they're wired, they're with the friends, they've been told to behave all day in school. Mm-hmm. And now they get out into a space where they can be free, quote unquote, and now they can just go nuts and play. Yeah. And that it only takes a few minutes before you can really get into them in terms of beginning to build this idea of an understanding of what they do in the moments of the game or certain aspects. And so let me ask you, what you do you have like a structure that you have for them? So if we are in attack in this part of the field, we try and do this, or is there like an understanding that they have in different areas and moments of the game?
Yeah, I guess I base a lot of the structure around teaching them, or I have over the last year around teaching them the positions. So maybe like a typical week, I will have sent out to their parents in an email the positions they're each going to play that week.
Okay.
And sometimes, a lot of times they stay the same, like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And I might have even sent out like, hey, we're going to work on a drill, this type of drill. So show, you know, and I'll have found a YouTube video or something of it and show your kids, if you can, this before we get to practice. So they should, at that point, when they show up at the field and practice, they know what position they're playing. Okay. And I have the bibs with the position with just like duct tape on it, you know. So if some bibs have an F on it, some have the, you know, CM, center mid. And so they get there and they put that jersey on. Then we go into the 4v4 setups. And then usually we're like me and the other coach that coaches a team, we're often then splitting the kids up often by defense, like, hey, midfielders and forwards, come out, go to Coach Justin. You guys are going to work on throw-ins or something. Defense, come with me. You know, we're going to – defense and goalies, come with me. We're going to work on goal kicks. A lot of times we've been doing, like, working on set plays for, like, 10 or 15 minutes because we found that a lot of goals get scored off of those, or you give up a lot of goals off of those, like goal kicks. And so we might work on that. And that both, like, helps teach them the position that they're playing, like where to be setting up on that set play, and creates a game-like situation. So we'll do that for, like, 15 minutes, and then maybe the last half hour we'll just do a big 7v7 game. So that's the basic structure. Start with the 4v4, let them run in that, have them in positions, do some set play work, and then 7v7.
You find it makes a difference having an assistant coach too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky. So we've got Justin, who's great. You know, he played soccer growing up, so he's and his son's there, and he loves coaching too. So that's a huge help. And then we have a couple other parents who are pretty helpful. You know, even if they're not actively coaching, they're helping set up or break down the field. And then they're also, like, sometimes we'll just split the goalies out because our goalies, you know, none of the kids have played goalie a ton. So if whoever we put in goal, especially if they're maybe on the, like, the less just naturally athletically gifted side, I'm always nervous. I'm like, oh, we're going to put someone in who, like, maybe his hand-eye coordination isn't the best. And so we want to give them, can we give you just, like, 5 or 10 minutes of repetition of, like, you practicing catching the ball and then rolling it back out to somebody? And so another parent will sometimes do that. We'll grab, like, the two goalies that we're going to have first half and second half goalie and just, you know, give them a bunch of repetition. So having 2 to 3 coaches on the field, it's invaluable. I'm not sure I could it would be a lot crazier and less effective with just one.
You make a good point about having that support too, because often we talk about sessions only being an hour. Sometimes people have a second session if they can, but typically in the city, it's one practice a week for 1 hour, maybe a little bit more if they're a little older, but really maximizing that hour by doing things like that, of dividing it and conquering, if you like, and having a goalkeeper get them some experience, because a goalkeeper is a really tough position to learn to play, because the margin of error, if you make a mistake, it's done. It's all your fault. Yeah. And so giving them that experience and that kind of special one-on-one can only make them feel empowered in a way. Mm-hmm. And then the same with the rest of the players. They know what's expected, and they know what to expect at the coming weekend too. And I think that's a really powerful way to run your practice. And I think that's something that everybody should know about. I think it's really, really valuable.
Yeah, the position stuff is huge, because they do, like you're saying, they have an expectation of what they're supposed to do each week, whether that's at practice or in the game. Like, they get there and they're like, yep, I know what my role is, and I can try and execute against it. Whereas when we weren't doing that, you know, just to take the 5 minutes to explain or put more structure in place of, like, hey, this is where you guys are going to be, that eats into your time, and it's...
Abe goes to show that even as a volunteer coaching the youngest of players, that you can arrive with a plan, and you can preface everything you do with communication with parents and even with your players too, if they're a little bit older, and you can communicate directly with them, as I always kind of push in sharing videos and clips and kind of the reason why. But he just shows there that the players just have, they have an hour of play, and he maximizes it as much as possible, whether that's using different stations with different coaches and giving players the confidence building activities, such as throwing the ball to a goalkeeper a couple times because they know they're going to be goalkeeper that weekend, instead of throwing it on them on the bench and say, who wants to be goalkeeper? Good luck. So the theory and the approach that Abe has is one that is really, really key for us as San Francisco Youth Soccer to empower all of our coaches to take this same sort of story, this same sort of preparation into their own environment, but also for you as a listener, wherever you are in the world, that you can plan and prepare and be as ready as possible. Or you can show up and maybe lose a few minutes, but right now we've got so much time on our hands that the preparation and the planning really goes such a long way, and it really goes such a long way to building that rapport with your players and building that understanding with them on the reason why we're doing what we're doing. So I really hope you enjoyed today's interview with Abe. There will be more coming from Heads and Volleys. This full interview and some more excerpts will be available with sfyouthsoccer.com. But thank you so much for listening. More coming always very soon.